Well, good morning, and to all of our radio listeners, I just want to say thank you for your time listening to us here at Salem Lutheran Church in Radcliffe, and this is Pastor Matthew Nelson speaking to you, and we are grateful again for you listening to our messages, and we are actually planning to cease having our sermons on the radio here, but we want you to know that our sermons are still available on our website at www.salemlutheran-aflc.org. Once again, that is www.salemlutheran-aflc.org. And we still care about you and want our message of the gospel to go forth into this community and to you. And so we hope that you continue to listen to us as we continue to present this material through another avenue. And this morning, if you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. And those of you here this morning, if you would stand as we read from God's holy word, John 8, verses 48 through 59. And I read in the name of our Lord Jesus, the Word of God. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me. Of whom do you say he is our God? Of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your holy word, and we ask that you would speak to us. May we have receptive hearts, not hard hearts, that would turn away from your word and reject you, Lord, but that we would receive you and not taste death. In your name we pray. Amen. What do you do when someone criticizes you? You know what? I want to actually focus that question a little bit more. What do you do when somebody criticizes you with something that you actually did wrong or that's actually a fault of yours? Now, I think that, you know, we would all probably like to say, "Well, you know, Pastor, what I do is I'm very gracious to them, and then I deal with it very maturely, and then I go fix the problem." Well, actually, probably, if you're anything like me, when somebody calls you out on something, your blood starts to boil, and you get defensive, and you might even call them a name, or get angry with them, or lash back at them. You know what that is speaking? That's pride. And actually, we see that here in our text as Jesus has this interaction with these Pharisees. And Jesus had just confronted them and spoke to them and said that they were following their father, the devil, and they were doing his works. He is a murderer and a liar, and they were believing his word and doing his work. He called them out on this. He wasn't being cruel. He was being honest in his confrontation of them. And they had a chance now, having been exposed in their heart attitudes, they had an opportunity to recognize that they were really following the devil and being about his work. And they could have repented and said they were sorry and started looking to the Lord and his word and his guidance. But no, instead of being honest with themselves, their pride swelled and they turned on Jesus even stronger. They had already been seeking to kill him, and now they come and they slander him. And this is the rejection of God, the rejection of the I Am, as we're going to see later in this text. And I'll explain more about that. But as we look at this, I want to point out three different ways that they are rejecting him in this passage. First, they're rejecting the messenger. Second, they're rejecting God's message. And third, they're rejecting God himself. So first off, let's look at how they are rejecting God's messenger. And again, this is them coming back, defending their pride. And they say to him in verse 48, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" You know, Jesus was God's messenger. He came with a message from God, and he had been interacting with these people, and they did not like what he was saying, and they didn't like him. And now they come after him with these slanders. They first call him a Samaritan. And to them, this was the worst insult that they could give him personally as a man and about his flesh. To them, a Samaritan was a despicable person. This was somebody that was a half-breed. They had mingled with and married in with the neighbors, and these people were feeling very superior to these Samaritans. We're pure, but those people, they're corrupted. They're not the good people. They're not a part of our family. And they thought, we have so much better doctrine than them. We're so much better at believing than these other people. And they are filthy, despicable. And now they call Jesus, a Jew, a Samaritan, which had no actual factual evidence or truth to it at all. It was just slander. And so they attack Jesus personally. They're going after his works. If you were to look up ahead when Jesus initially confronts them, he questions them. And he asks, "Which one of you convicts me of sin?" Which one of you convicts me of sin? And not one of them could, because Jesus was sinless. He had been perfect in all of his actions, and this accusation that he was somehow impure in his life and his actions, that he was like a Samaritan, was baseless. But they also say, "Are we not right in saying that you have a demon?" This is not only going at Jesus personally, but this is going after his message that he comes with. You see, they're saying that the voice speaking behind him, the thing powering him and guiding his words, was a demon and not God. And this was a great attack on the messenger then, and the message that he brings, but we'll see more specifically about the message in a moment. But right now, Jesus, having been offended and dishonored, he says, look at what he does. He doesn't respond like these other people do. He doesn't fight back and defend his own honor. In fact, he just takes the insult. He just says, "You dishonor me." But he defends the message. When he is attacked, he recognizes that he doesn't need to defend himself. He says, "Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." Jesus, instead of in pride fighting back with them, lets God do the defending of him. You know, I had to learn this lesson the hard way at one point, and probably many points, but one point that was that really sticks out in my mind, I was receiving some intense criticism, and it was very confrontational, and it was really bothering me, and I felt like I was justified in this situation. These claims were either not true, or they were exaggerated, or honestly, I just didn't like being confronted about some of the things. And you know, I was defending myself. This is something that's been true about me since I was a kid. When I think I'm right, I will fight for it. And you know, when that is tied up in my pride, I will fight for my pride, like these people do. And I was battling with the people who were criticizing me. And you know what? Even in the points where I probably had some case to make, I was losing the battle. Everything was getting worse the more I fought against this. And my pastor told me, "Matt, you need to quit fighting for yourself. Let God take care of it." And you know what? It felt like the most foolish thing to do at that moment to not defend myself. But I stopped speaking. I stopped fighting for myself, following this wise advice. And wouldn't you know it? But God worked it out. And he defended me where I was right. And he humbled me where I was wrong. And the Lord taught me through that experience. And thankfully, Jesus is wise, and also he is not seeking his own honor, but the honor of his Father and the message from his Father. Jesus is truly humble, unlike us. He leaves it to God to judge. You know, God tells us not to seek revenge either in this life, even when we are wronged, even when somebody for no reason does something horrible to us. We are to leave it to God, who is the judge. And you know, these people, one day, they will answer for it. God will know the truth, whether you were right or you were wrong, and he will be able to sort it out in the end, and he will make all things right. And Jesus submitted this to the Father, and we should do the same, following his example. Let the Lord take care of you, and let the Lord take care of the situation. But notice that Jesus does get a little defensive about something. And it's the honor of the Father, because they've undermined the one who sent him and the message that he comes with. And he says that he honors his Father. And then he doubles down on the word. They went after the word of God that he was carrying. And he says now, the most amazing promise. "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Isn't that an amazing statement? And quite a powerful claim, a bold claim. He was telling them the truth. And you notice here that even though they attacked him personally and dishonored him, he's still telling them a message that could save their soul for eternity. The Lord Jesus took this hit personally and responded with love. This makes me think of the verses that talk about Jesus when he went to the cross. In Isaiah, talking about as a sheep before its shearers is silent, this suffering servant goes to the cross to pay for our sins. And Jesus, even till the point he died, did not fight for his own honor and his own glory. Instead, he laid his life down on his own, willingly, loving his enemies, loving the people that were mocking him and nailing him to that tree, loving the people that whose sins that he carried on that cross. The Lord Jesus is so gentle in his response to these sour, bitter people who are attacking him and slandering him. What a loving Savior we have. But now, after rejecting the messenger, they continue to reject the message that he comes with. Even though he responded with real gentleness and concern for them, giving them another chance, they lash back out at him. And they respond to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, 'If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death.' Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" You know, they reject God's message. And in fact, this shows that they've been rejecting God's message all along. They had the Old Testament. They claim to be descendants of Abraham, and yet they do not believe the words of the Old Testament. You see, Abraham, he trusted in God. And even Job and all the people in the Old Testament were trusting in the Lord and his promise of a Messiah and of a resurrection one day. In fact, I think of Job when he talks about trusting in the Lord, his Redeemer, that he would see in the flesh on the last day. And they do not trust in this Messiah that God sent, the one that was promised. They haven't been believing the word of God that had been passed down to them, even though they claimed to. They were rejecting God's message, and they do it now again. As God's word comes to them, they despise it, even though it is a gracious word. You know, as I thought of this, they seem like they're blind. God had given them his word. He had showed them over and over his faithfulness and his gracious promise of the Messiah who would suffer for them in Isaiah, who would die for them, who would come and redeem them and restore their flesh on the last day, as Job said. But they're blind to all these promises and all these truths. And now they're offended that the light is shining in their presence. I thought of like a pocket gopher. How many of you are familiar with pocket gophers? When I was a boy, I for a time tried trapping pocket gophers because I heard there was some money in it. You get rid of these pests. So the way you catch them, though, is you have to go to their holes. You find their mounds out in the dirt. And some of you are probably more familiar with this than me, as if I'm the expert here. But you go and you uncover their hole so that the light shines in. And you bury a trap under there. And they get so mad and upset that the light is shining into their tunnel that they come out to bury it again, and then they get caught in the trap. And they're offended by the light. And these people too, they're so blind to what God has been showing them through the ages, passing down this message to them, that now as the light is shining right in their face, instead of seeing the light and rejoicing in the light, they are offended by it, and they want to bury the truth. They want to crawl back in their hole. And so they reject the message that comes from God. And this is the way of unbelief and pride and bitterness in heart. They think that they have a better way of doing it, a better idea of how this should all happen. And then Jesus responds to them again. "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. You know, they claimed to be followers of God and followers of Abraham. But Jesus exposes that they don't actually know God at all. And they don't follow in the steps of their physical father, Abraham. And they're really not children of Abraham. Because, you know, who are the children of Abraham? The people who believe like Abraham. Abraham believed the promises of God that from his seed an offspring would come that would bless all the nations of the earth, the promised Messiah. He clung to that promise, and even though his physical eyes didn't see the Messiah because he died long before Jesus walked the earth in the flesh, he saw with faith in his heart. You know, in Hebrews it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. He didn't see with his physical eyes, but he saw with faith the Messiah by trusting in God's word. And so Abraham did see the Messiah by faith, and he rejoiced. He was glad in it. He trusted the promise of God, the word of God. Unlike these who now, unlike their father Abraham, reject the word of God, the promise of God, the Messiah of God. They see the Messiah with their physical eyes, but they are blind in their heart. They can't see him, even though he's standing right in front of them. And so now, we move to this last point, the rejecting of the Messiah himself. The Jews responded again to him in verse 57. So they say, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And they're really questioning who he really is. Are you saying that you really are old enough to have seen Abraham or for Abraham to have seen you? But we know that you're not even 50 years old. He was actually about 30 years old or just over. And they reject this idea outright that Abraham could have possibly seen him. And they're still not understanding this. But listen to what Jesus says to them. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Isn't that an interesting phrase? I mean, we would never speak like that, would we? We would never say, before someone was, I am. That's just not proper grammar, and actually it sticks out in Greek and in Hebrew when this phrase comes up. And that's because this is a title for God. I am. If you were to look back at Exodus chapter 3, you would see the burning bush incident where God is present speaking to Moses out of the burning bush, and he's sending him out to speak for him. And he's saying, well, who do I say sent me? And God says, I am who I am. I am. I mean, what would that be like if you got to ask God, what's your personal name? What would you call yourself? That would be quite an amazing moment. And how peculiar to have that answer. What's your name, God? I am who I am. But you know, think about what that means. That he says, I am. I am always existing. I am here. I was here before anything else, before there were any other names. There was me. God was there at the beginning. He will be there after the end. He is always present, the I am. This is God's personal name. This is, we could say, the most powerful, prominent name of God himself. In fact, this name was so holy that they would not speak it out loud. And when they would write it out, they would write different vowels or none with it, and they would skip over it when they would say it. And instead of saying Yahweh, they would say Adonai, another name for God. This was the holy name of God that was revered among the people. And the Jews knew this name well. They knew what Jesus was saying. And now he is saying, I am the Lord God. You are not just rejecting a messenger. You are not just rejecting the written word of God. You are rejecting the person of God himself who is standing in front of you. And you know what? This offends them in the greatest way. Because now they're exposed that they are denying this claim to divinity, that Jesus is God himself. And now it comes down to this final showdown. Who really is God? The one that they are following or this Jesus? He's saying, I'm standing right in front of you. You're either with me or against me. You either believe in me or the other guy. And this offends them deeply. So deeply that they pick up stones to throw them at him. They want to kill him for it. They did not believe that he was God. You know, if Jesus wasn't actually God, then his death on the cross would mean nothing for you. Because if he was just a man, even if he was the best man on earth, his blood being shed wouldn't atone for all of our sins. It wouldn't make up for even one of us. But because Jesus is God, the Son of God, who died on the cross for your sins, his life was of more value than every person who has ever lived. And when he shed his blood, it covered more than all of the sins of every person that has ever lived. It atoned for all of them with extra to spare. And what an amazing thing. So when you look at Jesus today, do you see just some good man or some prophet who came to earth? Or do you see God himself who put on flesh and died for you? Because it makes all the difference in the world. You know, you might respond to God's word and get defensive about things like, well, God is confronting me about this in my life, and you know what? I don't want to give it up, or I think that I deserve this kind of thing. And we could respond to God in pride like the Jews did. And we could reject the messenger in our pride. And we could reject the message that he has, that we need to trust in his word if we don't want to taste death. We could reject that too and think, you know, I've got better ideas of how religion should work and what is true and not true. We could think a lot of our own reasoning and understanding of this world and the truth. We could reject Jesus' divinity, his godness, and not put our trust totally in him. But you know, if we reject this messenger, this message, and this God, Jesus, we reject all of his salvation, all of his promises, and we will find ourselves like them, wanting or at odds with him and wanting him dead. And he will be hiding from us. Look at this. At the end here, Jesus hid himself from them and went out of the temple. He went away from them. He had been gracious to them over and over, presenting himself and his promises and his grace and mercy to them over and over. And instead of receiving this in humble brokenness, they respond in pride and hatred to him. And now Jesus is gone. Don't let that be you. That you would look anywhere else but then to Jesus. Look to him, for he is the true messenger that was promised in the Old Testament. the one who comes with a message of eternal life. And he is God himself who died for you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to us and came to live for us in perfect sinlessness, to be the messenger of God, to come with a message of gentleness and love to us obstinate, prideful sinners. Thank you that you did not just come in wrath and judgment while we were your enemies, while we were opposed to you, but that you come and speak tenderly to us and respond in patience and mercy. May we not reject your promises and your grace. May we not reject you, Lord Jesus, our God. May we see you for who you truly are and find peace and freedom and victory in all that you offer to us today. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.